Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Matty Stewart is still on the unwell list, the injured list with his bad back. So, Matty, we wish you well. Hopefully you can get your back in action, and we will see you tomorrow. But in the meantime, it is time for Paul Tatnall, Racing.com's racing editor, to bring us up to date with the latest in the world of news. And there is plenty to discuss. There's been a few nice jump outs in the past 24 hours, this morning and yesterday. And we'll also get the latest on what is going on in the industry, really, the debate. Should jockeys get paid for jump outs as well as trials? And Paul Tatnall joins us this morning. Morning, Paul. How are you?
Good, Michael. How are you going?
Very well indeed. We'll start with this debate, which was really brought to a head by Matty Hyland on Monday when we were talking to him, following the comments of Ben Mellum about fatigue and tiredness in the industry and the amount of work jockeys are doing. And you sat down with Matty Hyland yesterday and specifically asked him about jockeys getting paid in jump outs as well as trials, and this is what he had to say.
Their role in the industry is as a jockey, and they're paid to be a jockey, which is what we see on race day. But there's no doubt in recent times there's been an increase of expectation on jockeys to turn up and ride at jump outs most mornings of the week. Now, bear in mind, it's not a one-size-fits-all issue. There's you know, you've got 30-odd jockeys that are in extremely high demand, and the expectations on them with the opportunity that presents itself is that they'll turn up to ride 8 or 9 jump outs of the morning to actually generate opportunity on the racetrack. And, you know, it's our view that that work load has increased in recent times, and that could be three or four hours of work, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And it's totally unpaid work. And we think that, you know, it's time now to sort of, you know, the jump outs on a Monday look exactly the same as the official trials on a Monday, the following Monday, if you like. So they get paid for one and not for the other. The risk they take is exactly the same. We say that maybe if they were paid for that extra workload that they're doing, maybe there wouldn't be such an expectation to actually turn up to the races more often to ultimately get paid for that work that's been done. So the work that's been done in the morning is not remunerated. The only way it is remunerated is if you actually turn up to the races and turn up to ride that horse. So our view is that they should be remunerated. When we negotiate the riding fee, we negotiate the riding fee with Racing Victoria, and, you know, there's many things that come into the equation. But what we, you know, if you look at the Sydney model, they're getting, riders in Sydney are getting paid exactly the same amount of riding fee that jockeys in Victoria are getting. The difference is they've got 2 opportunities at official trials per week where they can generate other income for that work. In other words, every bit of work they do, they get paid for. I don't want that to overshadow the incidents that are occurring, you know, the recent incidents that have occurred, but it's there in the background. And it's, you know, to Ben's comments, it probably is the root of what he was trying to get to.
Paul, you can understand where the Jockey Association is coming from on this front, but just a minute ago I spoke to Danny O'Brien, and the counter-argument is what Danny says.
Yeah, we do. And look, traditionally, obviously, you know, as long as racing's existed, part of the bargain between racing stables and jockeys would be that they would help prepare the horses and obviously reap the benefits when they go to the races. Now, jockeys do very little track work at all now, and you know, with good reason, apart from during the spring when they might be on one of your Group 1 horses. They've got a lot on. The only time they really have a meaningful interaction with your horses is probably at those jump outs. So I'm not sure, you know, whether they're not fully rewarded for that. I mean, certainly the guys that do our jump outs end up doing the majority of the riding. So, you know, that's been part of the bargain between jockeys and trainers for as long as I can remember.
So it's an interesting debate, Paul. What's your views and where do you think this will land?
Well, my view is that, you know, doing work for free, I know that's probably the view of the BJA, is never in anyone's interest. I think there's been discussions for a while now between the BGA and the Racing Victoria, and I think it's now looking increasingly likely we're going to see an increase in the number of trials here in Victoria. You know, how many that may be, I think it's still being discussed. But the upside of that will be that jockeys will be paid for more of their morning work. And that cost, obviously, will be passed on to owners. But I think you're not going to find too many people disagreeing with the fact that if a jockey is getting up at that time of morning to ride a good horse to get it ready to run in rich races, they shouldn't be rewarded for their work. Things around the mid-20s, number of trials that are essentially scheduled here in Victoria, I think that'll definitely increase. How many, I don't know, but it's a fascinating debate, and I think it's definitely a key passionate position that the BGA members are taking forward. They are going to get up that early in the morning. They'd rather the trials be scheduled than jump outs, because from Matt's point, the jump outs and the trials, they look pretty similar. The only difference is that the jockeys aren't paid for the work.
So is there a want to make them official trials or keep them as jump outs and just pay the jockeys? And what kind of payment are they after?
Well, I think under the EBA, there's essentially an agreement that if a jockey rides in a trial, they get paid. And I think it's $300 per jump, per trial or whatever else. I'm not quite sure on the overall payment figure. So what you'll probably see is some of those jump outs become trials, or at the very least more trials scheduled. So, again, I think it's a good result for the VJA, and it's probably a better compromise than what we're looking. I think Matt's point salient as well. If a jockey is earning an earn on an early morning on a Monday or Tuesday, it may put them less likely to want to take a Monday or Tuesday, you know, ride at a meeting during the week, and might relieve that financial, not pressure, but incentive, and then probably increase to a better work-life balance. So I think there should be an announcement in the next couple of weeks in that space, and it's to me it makes sense. But I do take Danny's point as well, that it has been going like this for a long time. But probably the flip side to that argument is that, you know, we have seen a considerable increase in the number of twilight and night meetings, and the pressures on the time of these jockeys is probably at the most extreme that it's been since you know, for a long time.
Was this all already going to be implemented? This can't have just come about purely because of Ben Mellum's comments after the spate of falls.
No, I think it's been in the works. But the whole debate based on Ben Mellum, so it's definitely put a bit more extra passion into debate. And speaking to Matt on Monday, I think you guys on RSN did as well, that clearly that's been a passion topic for them, and it's clearly been ongoing. But I think that it's probably a better time now than ever to, you know, be proactive in this space. And I think it's important as well to show the wider public that these kind of issues are taken seriously. Like the falls and the issues around jockeys have made mainstream news from the Daily Mail to Channel 7. I think as an industry, you know, perspective, it's important to show the world that we did care about our most important participants.
It's interesting, there's an SMS which has just come through here saying, hey, this may be a silly question, I'm not sure about jockeys, but if they get paid for jump outs, won't that encourage them to do more work and more jump outs, making fatigue even worse?
Well, I guess there's no such thing as a silly question. It's actually not a bad point. It is, again, as Matt said, you can't regulate what these guys do. They're highly trained and highly skilled professionals, and they are well paid in the most points what they do, but it's the work-life balance. It's pretty intense. So I think Matt's position is if they do get some payments for some of this early work, and it makes them less likely to want to then head around the country driving, you know, significant distances, and also wasting. You know, there's all these great stories about jockeys having the heater up quite high on hot days to make sure they make their weight, and the pressures on them, I'm not envious of those. So, but again, it's up to the jockeys to essentially regulate those working hours.
A couple of other SMSs coming through. Morning, Michael. Jockeys not getting paid for jump outs is plain wrong. Who in this day does unpaid work? That's from Mark in West Meadows. And pay the jockeys and make the jump outs official trials. RacingVictorianRacing.com can get a proper caller. Coverage of the trials, which we'd all love. Punters would have more confidence and betting turnover would go up. Now, I know you guys are actually working on trying to get better coverage of those jump outs and trials, aren't you?
Yeah, it's definitely something which, you know, I've always been a strong supporter of. And I think, you know, I can't speak for Racing Victoria, but I'm pretty sure that's something they're really looking closely at, is how to bring extended and coverage. And had those, I watched the jump out this morning of Kick a Kick and try to put the audio up and realise there was no call. So those kind of things, definitely room to improve the scope there. And I think Racing Victoria are working on some solutions at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a must for the industry to try and engage. It's all about engagement and then trying to get people to have a bet. It's easy to engage if you can easily identify horses and listen to calls, even if they're put on post. The jump outs, it would make him a lot more watchable. And speaking of Giga Kick, gee, he looked good this morning, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, he looked brilliant. Gee, they barely moved on him, and he just had a pretty wide trip and managed to come home with plenty in the tank. I did text Clayton this morning, and he said he was very happy with the run. A nice tick over trial, horses in great shape, and obviously raring to go for the TJ Smith in a couple of weeks. So obviously, you know, still a young horse, and what I love about him too, Mike, is the gelding. So there won't be any pressure to chuck him off to the breeding barn. Hopefully we're going to see, I don't want to compare him to Nature Strip, even though he has rolled him once. Hopefully it's we're going to see a lot of this horse running some pretty quality races over the years.
Speaking of the TJ here and Nature Strip, Nature Strip's working between races today in Sydney, so a track gallop there. Because he'll be lining up trying to win an amazing fourth TJ, but Giga Kick's going to be hard to beat there. Zach Purton on Giga Kick, and he's also picked up the ride on Mr. Brightside in the Doncaster.
Yeah, rides that would have gone to Craig Williams, but obviously Craig is currently recovering from his injuries, and we obviously wish him the best there. But he will take Mr. Brightside in the Group 1 Doncaster Mile and Giga Kick in the Everest. So, you know, losing Craig Williams is pretty hard to replace, but putting Zach Purton on board is a pretty nice replacement there. So obviously Mr. Brightside's running the All-Star Mile on Saturday rated really well, and it really does present itself as an intriguing race.
Certainly does. And speaking of trials, horse in the same colours, he goes pretty quick as well. Passive Aggressive looked good in a Sydney jump out yesterday.
Yeah, we'll also head to the TJ Smith. Was in the early market for the Alistair Clark on Friday night, but we'll head Sydney. It's just a pretty nice problem for owner Jonathan Munns to have owning Passive Aggressive and Giga Kick. Let us hope that Racing New South Wales pays that strapper's bonus again, hey, and if one of them does manage to come through. But it does. The TJ Smith is kind of looking as one of the, there's always a couple of races each carnival that presents itself as an intriguing contest. And the TJ does, you know, as we kind of end our Festival of Racing here in Melbourne, I have looked at Sydney, that field is looking, you know, in secret as well. It's like a fantastic, fantastic addition.
Speaking of interesting horses in Sydney at those trials, Alcohol Free. This is the European mare that was bought by Yulong Investments for $10 million Australian. We got to see her for the first time, and she won her trial, and hopefully won't be too long until we get to see her at the track.
Yeah, it's probably going to head to the Queen of the Turf Stakes at this stage, which is interesting because that's obviously over the mile, and there's some thought that she's, you know, perhaps better suited over the shorter distances and has been mentioned as part of a potential Everest slot later in the year. But obviously that trial was very impressive ahead of Passive Aggressive as well, and it probably will head to the mile, the Queen of the Turf Stakes. It does have nominations for other races such as the TJ, the Doncaster, and the Queen Elizabeth Stakes as well. So it does look like a kind of horse that will live up to its price tag. Often we see these expensive imports that come over and don't quite live up to the hype, but gee, it looked pretty impressive in its trial yesterday.
It certainly did. For $10 million, you wanted to be able to run all right, and then obviously it'll be part of the Yulong breeding band with all of their rich mares there as well. Shinzu, the slipper winner news yesterday, won't compete in the remaining two-year-old Triple Crown races, off to the Spelling Paddock, and a lot of emphasis on the injured jockeys this week, and one jockey who had some bad injuries is not far away from a return.
Sorry, mate, I missed that one. Who was that?
Billy Egan,
sorry, mate. Yeah, sorry, I did read that this morning. Obviously, hurt his shoulder and his knee. His shoulder was obviously recovering reasonably well. Now his knee did a lot of work on that. Potentially could return to riding on Saturday for Patrick Payne. did admit in his story with Brad Waters of the Herald Sun that, you know, the probably still a touch on the heavy side at the moment, but isn't far away from returning to full fitness. And obviously, on his at his best, he's one of the, you know, one of our leading jockeys. So it's terrific to have him back riding again.
A few SMSs coming through here. How can you talk about payments to jockeys to help them out, and then in the same breath say we can't regulate what they do, and it's still up to them? Every jockey should have an enforced week day off or an enforced day off during the week, and put more apprentices on to even out the workload. They are steadfast that they don't want to be told or regulated. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, the VGA are 100% of the view that the last thing they want to be done is be told what to do. Essentially, they believe that, you know, their members are independent contractors and for the vast majority have a pretty good ability to choose their working hours. There is some data around, and I think it's probably important that Racing Victoria shares this widely around some of the working days and what is actually done. But when you had the likes of Ben Mallum and others saying that the pressures are too great, and it's, you know, again, I think there's things that have to be done, and I think more trials instead of jump outs to me makes perfect sense, and it's, you know, it's probably only one step we can make towards making that balance better. But I think the biggest argument and the biggest fascinating debate is going to be when Racing Victoria releases the race schedule for later in the year and whether they proceed down the more night twilight meeting path. There could be a bit of opposition to that, and it'd be fascinating to see how that plays out.
Nothing's simple in racing, and there's plenty more SMSs coming through. Making them official trials limits the jockey pool and will increase their workloads because track riders can't ride in trials, and that's a point that Matty Williams made yesterday. So there's no easy answer in regards to that. And then this SMS might be from a tradie who's listening. What's the difference between a jockey riding a jump out, hoping to get a ride, or a self-employed tradie quoting jobs after hours, hoping to get a job?
Well, that's a good point. I think probably the difference there is you've got to jump on a significant-sized horse and run it at good speed and put yourself at risk, and then not to mention probably back up into riding later in the day as well. So, you know, when you look at things in isolation and these kind of debates, they don't appear to be, you know, that bad or that significant. But when you add them all into a one big week and riding for significant prize monies during carnivals, the balance needs to be there. And I think what we're hearing from Matty Hyland, who I also want to say has done an incredible job the last 3 weeks regarding some of his injured members. And speaking to Willow, you know, the first voice he heard on the track at Flemington that morning, that day he fell, was Matt Hyland. Mm. And he makes himself available to us. And he's come out and obviously passionately said his members need more of a chop out in certain areas. I think it's, you know, important that we listen to it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Paul, appreciate you jumping in for Matty Stewart. We'll see how his back progresses today. And Matty will either be back or we'll chat again tomorrow.
All the best to Matt, mate, and any time.
Good on you, Paul. Paul Tatnall, who is the racing editor for racing.com.